Jesus Plus Nothing, 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's Andrew Farley Live.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Andrew Farley Live. This is Andrew, and we are live tonight. That number to join us with your question, 877-655-6755. We've got open lines here at the top of the hour. Plenty of room for you to get in with your question tonight. If you have a question about a scripture passage, maybe there's something that's been on your mind recently. Perhaps you heard something in church yesterday and you're not so sure about it. Well, let's make it a conversation together right now. 877-655-6755. That is the number. Open lines right now. Plenty of room for you to get in with your question tonight. If you've got a personal problem going on in your marriage, in your church, with your kids, whatever it might be, and you're looking for that grace-based perspective, well, let's talk it over. Again, very little wait, wide open lines right now, 877-655-6755. We're going to start off tonight's broadcast in Ontario, Canada, and we'll talk with Paul. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how are you, Andrew?
Hey, doing well, Paul. What have you got for us tonight?
I don't have a question for you tonight, Andrew. I just want to thank you for all the help in the past year. You've really helped me grow, brother. And I just really felt it on my heart to call you up and just tell you how much of a blessing you've been for me. And
Wow.
Just really appreciate it, Andrew. I really do. You've helped me, and it's not just the questions you've answered for me. It's your ministry and your show itself. Get a lot of good questions on here, and it really helps a lot. But I just want to wish you and your family a blessed Christmas too, Andrew.
Thank you, Paul.
Well, you're welcome, yeah. Andrew. I can honestly tell your brother, this is my best Christmas ever. And I'm 59 years old, and this is my I'm close to the Lord. You talk about the grace message and people talk about, law-based mixed with grace and how they, to keep them on the level playing field. For me, I understand your message, Andrew. It's like, I don't wish to sin. And when I do it, yeah, you just know. I mean, your heart has a filter now. It's Jesus. That's all
yes.
I can say. But again, I just wanted to tell you, brother, how much I appreciate you and your ministry.
Well,
I really do.
Paul, thank you so much, brother, for calling in and taking time to encourage me. You made my night there, brother, with that encouragement. So great to hear from you. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. You've had good questions over the last while since you've been calling in, and look forward to next time that we get to hear from you. So reach out to us again real soon, and Merry Christmas to you and your family. And again, how fun it is to celebrate the finished work of Jesus Christ, and to celebrate our new identity in Christ, and to celebrate God's grace and what it means to live on this side of the cross under a new covenant, and to have brothers and sisters like Paul to celebrate with. So thanks again for your call. Reach out to us soon. All right, let's go to Niagara Falls now, and we'll talk with Brian. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how you doing, Andrew? Good to hear from you, and I appreciate your ministry. I just had
Thank
a question
you.
About, who Christ was talking to. Obviously, he was talking to the disciples, but, how many of us are you talking to when he said to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah,
God bless.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, first we're in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. It says, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. So you hear that and you say, wow, I mean, there it is. There's the invitation, and there's salvation there, and yet there are some who will reject that salvation, and how important it is to get the message out. So who was it written to? Well, I mean, it was written to the disciples, as you mentioned, and, you know, the disciples became apostles, and they went out and wrote letters and invested in the church and were certainly involved in molding and shaping people who would then proclaim the excellencies of God's grace all over the planet as they knew it at that time. But, you know, this extends further. It extends to the church. It extends to the whole body of Christ. And I think that the problem is that when a single person reads this and tries to take the whole mandate on their own shoulders, this was written to a group of apostles and to the body of Christ as a whole. And it doesn't mean that, you know, we have to move about the planet traveling on plane after plane after plane and mission trip after mission trip in order to single-handedly fulfill some sort of commission. No, this was written to the church as a whole, both then and historically, so that over the last 2,000 years, that is exactly what we are. We are by nature, we are salt and we are light, and we are His witnesses. It's not that we have to be. We are His witnesses. We are ambassadors for Christ. That's not because we are just so incredible at good works. It's because we have a new heart and a new nature, and He's made us His children. We're born of God, born of the Spirit. As I said, we are salt and light. That's our nature. That's who we are. We possess Christ living inside of us, and we're the only ones that have Christ living inside of us. So, you know, it's only natural then, as the apostle put it, be ready. Be ready to give an account of the hope that is within you, but with gentleness and respect. And, you know, that's how people are won over. They're not won over by arguments and debates. And as valuable as apologetics is, most people aren't swayed by apologetic debates saying, oh, you beat me. You beat me in the debate. Therefore, I'm going to get saved. It is just this readiness that we have. Be ready. Know that you are a fragrant aroma of Christ. And some people are going to seek that out, and others are going to hate it. But be yourself. Learn who you are in Christ, and wake up every day and be yourself. That is the beauty of new covenant life, living under grace as a new creation in Jesus Christ. So I hope that helps, my friend. You know, the commission there, the invitation of Jesus to go out and share this great news, it is not about one person being a world changer. It is about the body of Jesus Christ and all of us collectively simply being available to the God of the universe. It doesn't mean that each one of us has to turn into a door-to-door salesman. It doesn't mean that each one of us should have notches on our belt for how many, quote, conversions we have achieved or something like that. When we get a works-oriented mentality about this, then we miss the joy of just being ready to give that beautiful account of the new life that we have within us. So I hope, again, that that is an encouragement and that it's liberating to you, and that as you share, it can be from the heart, with a desire to share, not a compulsion or a pressure or a guilt, but simply that readiness and that passion that is real and heartfelt. Call back anytime. We'd love to hear from you. All right, let's go to Nashville, Tennessee, and we'll talk with David. Hey, David.
Hey, how are you doing? I appreciate Brother Andrew, you for taking my call. My question is really about tithing. You know, Malachi 3:10, you know, it talks about bringing the whole tithe into the storehouse, feeding God's house, and to test him in this and see if he did not open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings such you cannot contain. Now, I know, you know, last week I heard you mention, obviously, God doesn't come down on your heart if you don't. But don't we, you know, forfeit God's full blessing, you know, when he says to bring the whole tithe, you know, to reap the full benefit of his blessing? Because I know I struggle with that a lot. I'm going to try to be brief. In the past, years back, I was a faithful tither and really stood in, went through some hard times, but stood on that scripture. And long story short, I was believing to get out of debt, and we did get completely out of debt and even had money left over. So, you know, years on now, you know, I'm struggling to get back there again. So I guess my question is, I guess, you know, God's not going to be too hard on us. I mean, obviously we do need to further the ministry. How else does God's work, you know, get spread around the world unless we as Christians support his kingdom and the ministry? So I guess, again, my question is, don't we, if we don't tithe the full 10%, don't we miss out on the full blessings of him? And that's all I have for you, and I'll hang up.
Okay, David. Thank you, brother. Appreciate your call tonight. I mean, the short answer is no, that God doesn't bless us because we give him money. As you look at the New Testament, you know, you don't find a single instruction in any New Testament letter to give 10%. So that's pretty radical to think about. And, you know, if you don't think I'm right on that, then go back and test it. I mean, if you're in Romans or Galatians or Ephesians or Philippians or Colossians or Thessalonians, there's no mention of a required 10% tithe. There's no mention of giving 10% in any New Testament letter. So just let that sink in for a minute. If that is the way, if that's the motivation, if that's the inspiration, if that is the system, if that is the way that the New Testament church is designed to function, then why didn't Paul mention it one time? Why didn't Peter or James or John or the author of Hebrews instruct the New Testament church to do that one single time? Why is it absent from every New Testament letter? Well, here's why. Because Paul told the Corinthians that there's another system in place. He said the new system that is in place is give freely. Give freely from the heart, not under compulsion. That means not under pressure, because God loves a cheerful giver. So that's the system. The system is live from the heart. The system is give from the heart. And so I just want you to think about the nature of God for a minute and what we're saying about God. If he's going to bless you because you give him money, then you are paying for God's blessings. And the New Testament tells us something different, that under grace, what's the case? Well, under grace, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Now, that's a past tense verb. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Have been blessed. How many blessings? Every spiritual blessing. Well, what about curses? Because I certainly don't want to be cursed. Well, the Bible tells us that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. You say, well, what does the curse of the law have to do with anything? Well, it's perfectly relevant, because Malachi 3 is part of the law. And the curse that is mentioned in Malachi 3, the curse of not tithing, is a law-based curse. The tithing is a matter of the law. Matthew 23 tells us that. Jesus says to the Pharisees that you are tithing your dill and your cumin and your spices, but you are neglecting the weightier matters of the law. What does that tell you? There's weighty matters of the law, and then there's lighter matters of the law, and tithing is one of those lighter matters of the law. So Jesus teaches us in Matthew 23 that tithing is a matter of the law. Now it's starting to make a lot of sense why tithing is not mandated in the New Testament. Why not? Because it's law. It's a matter of the law. And so, you know, we're not forfeiting our blessings because our blessings don't come from tithing. Our blessings come from Christ. We're not scared of being cursed because our freedom from curses doesn't come from tithing. Our freedom from curses comes from Jesus. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, even in your statements there, my friend, when you talked about bringing the whole tithe so that you could have the full benefit of his blessing, well, the whole tithe is not 10%. When you do the math, the whole tithe in the Old Testament was about 20 to 22%. When you add everything up, I mean, there were different kinds of tithes and offerings and all kinds of things. And in fact, in Malachi 3, you know, verse 10, which you were quoting, that has nothing to do with money. That's about food. And so they were tithing grain. They were bringing grain into a storehouse in order to feed the Jewish priests, because the Jewish priests wouldn't have anything to eat if Israel didn't provide for them. So those were grain offerings, not money offerings. So there's a lot of issues as people try to teach tithing alongside a New Testament message. And, you know, I've heard it all over the years. People will say, oh, well, you know, it's not required, but it's a bonus. Or, you know, it's give freely from the heart, but at least 10%. 10% is the benchmark. Well, again, if we're pulling 10% as the benchmark, we're not even mirroring the Old Testament, which is about 20%+. But, you know, it sends a bad message. It's certainly a bad signal to the body of Christ to tell people that grace is basically law plus. You see, when I tell people that tithing is the benchmark or the minimum, then I'm telling them that grace is basically the law plus. So that would be like saying, well, you know, you should at least avoid shrimp, but you should also avoid other foods. You should rest at least on Saturday, but you should take other Sabbaths as well. And so I start to teach that the law is the minimum. Well, the Bible never says the law is the minimum, and it never teaches us that it's that life under grace starts with the law. There are 613 commands in the law, and we are dead to the law. We're free from the law. We're not under the law. Christ is the end of the law for all those who believe. So I just want to challenge you, my friend, on this. I want to encourage you to consider the possibility that God gave you the wisdom on how to get out of debt previously because God is good, not because you paid him money, not because you calculated and did the right percentage, but because his Holy Spirit lives in you and he taught your mind and he renewed your thinking and he gave you his wisdom and he enabled you to get out of debt. It wasn't because you paid him enough in order for him to offer those services. So maybe, just maybe, the goodness and the joy and the peace that you've experienced is because of the goodness of God, not because of the goodness of your dedication and commitment in tithing. So we are free. I mean, we can give 1% or 40% or 8% or 12%. There's no number. It's give freely from the heart, not under pressure. That is the beautiful thing about living under God's grace. Grace giving is the same as grace living. The message doesn't change when we get out our wallets. I hope that helps. I hope it encourages. I hope it liberates. Give us a call back anytime. We'd love to hear from you. All right, we're going to finish out the broadcast tonight in Hamilton, Ontario, and we'll talk with Paul. Hey, Paul.
Hi, Andrew. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I told your call screener that I had a question about 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. But it's actually 1 John chapter 3, verse 6, that it's more actually to the point.
Okay.
So it says, no one who abides in him, I'm reading from the Amplified New Testament.
Yeah.
Who lives and remains in communion with and in obedience to him, deliberately knowing and habitually commits, practices sin. Mm-hmm. No one who habitually sins has either seen or known him, mm-hmm. or has had an experiential acquaintance with him. Mm-hmm. So, I've had, in the past, I've struggled with sex addiction. I'm happy to say, you know, by the grace of God, I've had some victory over that. But what? How do you? Like, how would you look at that verse? When you're looking at a born again Christian who has an addiction.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good. Well, Paul, you know, the key word here is practice, and I know that you were reading from an expanded version, but the verb tense here is a practice type verb tense. It's a keep on keeping on. It's a trend, and we have to understand 1 John in that context. I mean, 1 John is a book of contrasts. The Apostle John is contrasting light and darkness. He's contrasting sin and righteousness. He is contrasting God and Satan. So there's a tremendous amount of contrast in the book of 1 John. He's also contrasting death and life. And so what we're seeing here is that there are people that are born of God and people that are not born of God. And when we get born of God, there's a trend, reversal. We start a new practice. So I know that you in your brain, you've had some sort of addictive, addictive, obsessive type thinking about sex. And you've battled with that, and that's a big struggle, and maybe it's a long-term struggle. But what God is looking at is he's looking at your heart. Are you born of him? Are you born again? I mean, someone listening to this broadcast has struggled for years, perhaps, with gossip, and they just talk about people nonstop behind their back, and that's their struggle. Other people on this listening to this broadcast, I mean, they struggle with a critical spirit, and they just criticize and look for the wrong in people and point their bony finger and judge. You know, right there where sexual sins are listed, Paul also lists disobedient to parents, and he's referring to kids being disobedient. What I'm trying to say is there's all kinds of flavors of flesh. There's many flavors of disobedience. But John is not saying that you're not saved because you struggle. I mean, James says we all stumble in many ways. And that the solution, you know, Paul says we restore a brother or sister gently, and we need to be careful lest we might be tempted as well. So we all stumble, we all struggle, but, you know, 1 John is a book of contrasts. And so what it's saying is, if you're born of God, you've got a new practice. Just like LeBron James, he wants to win another championship. He wakes up every day and practices basketball in order to get better at basketball, in order to be a champion at it. Well, you have a new practice. It's called righteousness. You don't do it perfectly, but it's who you are.
For more information on Andrew's books, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us every week at this time as we invite you to celebrate the freedom of God's grace. Goodbye, everybody.